Good morning, everyone, to Saturday AM Live. This is typically Vance Rogers' call, and obviously I'm not Vance. This is Sherry Danzig. I'm calling you from, I'd like to say sunny, but not really, sunny Atlanta. And this morning we've got two special guests that I'm going to introduce in just a moment. But Vance is, if you haven't heard, Vance is on his way to Mexico, and so he asked me to cover the call for him. So we're going to get right into it. The first person who is going to speak to you all today happens to be my daughter, Rachel Danzig. And the reason we wanted to have her on this call this morning is because the Watanabe Scholarship is phenomenal. I'm going to let Rachel talk about it a bit, but the deadline for applicants to apply is the end of March, so that goes through next Saturday, so there's really still time to jump on it or get it complete, and this scholarship is available for any child of a silver or above distributorship. It's either for their children or for their grandchildren if they have direct custody for those, you know, that child. And so it's not just for undergraduate college, but it's also for graduate school. And some of you may have heard my daughter speak, Rachel speak, in San Antonio this past October. But if you haven't, you're in for a treat. The excitement for Rachel is that she was applied each year for 4 years. Her medical school tuition was paid for by the scholarship fund. So, Rachel, I'm going to ask you if you will, first of all, share what this has meant to you as a medical student to have your tuition paid, fine you can. And then I'm going to want you to just talk a little bit about the process of the application process so that you can help everyone. And just so you'll know, everyone, if you go to log in under MyUKen and then go to Information Center, you'll see the link right there for the Watanabe Scholarship Program, and the application is right there. But there's a few things that I'm sure, Rachel, you can share some insights. So I'm going to turn it over to you, my dear.
Yes. Okay, so your first question was, what does it mean to you? Which really is a very challenging question to answer. Because I think, you know, right now in this moment, what it means to me every year has been, you know, this incredible push to do well in school and to, you know, sort of fulfill what I'm capable of in achieving my dreams of being a doctor each year in medical school. And, you know, if you get a full tuition scholarship, it's pretty impressive incentive to continue to pursue your dreams and to continue to work hard in school. I think what it's going to mean for me in the long run is going to be so much greater because, you know, this is money that I otherwise would have taken out loans for, and then I would have had to pay back for, in some circumstances, the rest of my life. So this is really going to give me so much freedom in a way that I don't think I can fully comprehend right now. For the rest of my life, I think it will be a huge portion of how I make decisions and how I'm able to go about my life and achieve things that I want to achieve that I otherwise couldn't have. As far as the process goes, so the application is due annually on March 31st for that educational semester year, so for school starting in the summer or fall of 2018, the application is due this March 31st coming up. It includes some paperwork, some things like you have to include your SAT, ACT scores, in addition to scores on other equivalent exams. So for medical school, that included the MCAT, but for grad school, that would also include the GRE or other equivalent exams like that. You have to include your GPA, your prior education, and a list of your extracurricular activities. Every year, there's a personal statement, the same topic every year. You just have to write about yourself, your upbringing, your values, and your goals. You need at least 2 recommendation letters from instructors or colleagues. This past year, I got a co-medical student to write me one, and then one of my instructors to write me one. You need the acceptance letter from whatever institution you're about to attend, and then a FAFSA form of your financial aid report. And then after March 31st, after the deadline, you do some waiting, and things are going to go favorably. And I found out each year between June and July.
Yeah, your schedule was a little different, just being...
Yeah, but
I guess
I think everyone finds out between June and July anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's doable. Even though there's one more week left, if someone had not started the process and they really got their focus on, they could still get an application processed.
Yeah, 100%.
Absolutely. So what I want to do is, I mean, I know this has been huge. I mean, whether it's undergrad or graduate school, this is like one of the biggest things that is, you know, millennials are facing. Is this, they may be making more money than we did when we got their first jobs. I'm blown away by some of my nieces and how they're starting out. And, you know, you're doing pretty good yourself with starting out at the University of Texas in Austin. Not to have that, you know, weight that you're pulling, dragging behind you of all this debt is quite a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So, and here's the thing about it that you all might not know, and that is this fund is very, very well funded. There is a lot of money that Mr. Watanabe wants to give to the, you know, consultant's children. However, the IRS puts a hampering, and they will not allow any more than 1/4 scholarship, 1/4 of the total number of applicants to go out. So the larger the number of applicants, the larger number of scholarship recipients there can be. So we're really leaning on consultants who have kids that are, you know, in college or about to go to college starting in the fall or graduate school to get on it and apply and take advantage of this. If anyone has a question that they want to ask Rachel, what you can do is hit *6 to unmute yourself, and because then Rachel's going to pop off the call. So is there anyone that has a question? Don't be shy. Okay, well, no questions. I hope that means you're busy texting your child to tell them what they have to get on and get done. So I urge you all, if you're in this position with kids that are in school or are about to go into start school, to pull up that website, pull up the MyNewTen site, pull up all the different steps that have to be checked off and get on it, because you really do have a week left that you can make this happen.
Okay,
last call.
I do have a question. Rachel, are you also a distributor of MyNewTen?
Hi, I am. Yes, I'm a silver.
Is that a kind of ongoing occurrence with the applicants?
Sorry, I didn't know if you could answer that. You don't have to be. The student does not have to be signed up. Only they have to. Their parent has to be a silver or above.
Thank you.
I've got a question as well, and maybe neither of you know this. Is there any consideration of, say, the student being a silver where the parent has no interest in being a consultant with Nikon, so that it would be a direct student, you know, application for themselves as a silver.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if there's any discussion about that? I did send an email to Nikon, mm-hmm. but I haven't heard back yet.
That's a great question. I don't know the answer. I don't think Rachel would know the answer either, but I will tell you that what I would do is call on Monday and ask to speak, you know, to the operator instead of getting into distributor services, and ask to speak to Ruth Ann. She is the assistant to Mr. Watanabe. Actually, I guess she's the assistant to Kurt Foley. But she's the go-to for it. She was incredibly helpful to Rachel in coordinating things throughout the last 4 years. And so I would just call her because of the timeliness of this. If this question hasn't been posed before, she'll go to, there's a committee, a scholarship committee, and she may need to go to them and ask that, you know, pose that and get back with you.
Okay, thanks so much.
I'll also include that her email is scholarship@nikon.com, scholarship,
okay.
Plural. This is very
great.
Receptive.
Great. And thank you, and
yeah.
Congratulations, Rachel.
Thank you. Anybody else? But then we've got another speaker in just a moment. Okay. Well, Rachel, thank you for being on the call this morning. I think I've had so many people congratulating me to send that message to you for your poise and accomplishments, and it's going to be an exciting 3 years coming, moving to Austin, Texas. I know that's a big Nikon area, so that means I'm going to be in Austin a lot more than I ever have, which is exciting. It's a great town, so you'll be getting your start as a doctor in mid-June, yes?
Yep, that's right. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Thanks, sweetie.
Bye.
All right. So we're going to change direction here. And when I thought about someone that I would love to interview on this call, it didn't take long for me to land on my coach of, I would say, probably 18 years, Frank. And so I'm going to introduce you to Frank. It's been a large part of my Nikon career, for sure. So I want to tell you a little bit about who Frank is, and I'll let him fill in the gaps, and that is a pun intended, because he is a gap coach, and he'll explain that himself. But Frank is I don't know if you'll meet a more passionate coach that has been around Nikon. He's, as I said, he and I have worked together for about 18 years. He's been to Humans Being More several times. He has, I think actually was a consultant briefly, but has been a customer for all these years, loves the products, has developed material to coach entrepreneurs and specifically people in network marketing and specifically with Nikon consultants. So he's created some magical teleclasses that are all about learning and growing, and that's really the heart and soul of what he's about, is about, you know, teaching other seekers. He himself is always learning, and I thought about this last night of what I was going to say to introduce you, because the Team Kaizen is our top leadership level, and it means always improving, continual improvement, and I think that really describes you. So you could call yourself a Kaizen coach, I think. You heard it here. But, you know, just incredibly passionate, has been a great cheerleader throughout my Nikon career. And one of the things I appreciate the most about you, not always in the moment, but he's not someone you can hide from. He's very intuitive. And so I would say he is, you know, this is a new buzzword of being a disruptor. And I would say you are a disruptor for entrepreneurs that really want to get out of their own way, that they want to grow, but perhaps have been, you know, hiding, as we all have done. Certainly I've done my share of hiding. and staying comfortable on the couch. So I think you guys are in for a great treat for Frank to share some wisdom about some of the concepts that he teaches. If you heard me speak in San Antonio, I was talking a lot about some of the concepts I've learned. So I'm going to kick it over to you, Frank.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that, Sherry. I'm delighted to be here with you folks this morning. I hope it's brighter and nicer wherever you are, as opposed to what I'm looking at here in the Chicago suburb of Naperville. Sherry, have you did you on this call talk about the big stick figure?
We have not talked about it. I mean, I've spoken
okay.
about it myself, but no, I think you want to
okay.
enlighten us.
Just want to clear that up. All right. So, my title for this morning, which ties into the stuff that Sherry said about me, is that breaking through the barriers to create an exceptional life. And my goal in the next however many minutes is to share with you at least one bit of information that helps to light or sustain the spark in you that will lead you to living exactly the life you are intended to live. Now, I'm going to give you an assignment here right on the front end. Your goal is to actively look for that one bit of information that sparks something to enhance, elevate, take to a different level. I encourage you to take notes. If you have questions, please feel free to speak up and ask them. I work really, really well in terms of responding to people. If you'd like some coaching on something that some topic I'm talking about, or you have a question, I'll be glad to do some coaching on the phone this morning. So let's jump into this breaking through the barriers to an exceptional life. Now, most people, I'll say that differently. Everyone who joins NECAN has some desire to change the trajectory of your life. Easy for me to say. Trajectory of your life. If you graphed it, you would see a sharp upturn and have the ability to sustain that level of change in your life. Most people find this changing the trajectory of your life to be a disruptor, to move in a different way, to get to the big stick figure, much more difficult than they anticipated as they got into it. Oh, so-and-so, I'm just as smart as so-and-so, why can't I get... I've got just as much money, background, or talent as so-and-so, why can't I get there? Well, here's kind of a news flash for you. The news flash is that intelligence and talent aren't the predictors of whether you'll be successful or not. And you've all recruited tons of people into your business, and you thought they had the possibility, but it doesn't work out. They stop returning your phone calls. They stop doing whatever it is that they were intending to do. You perhaps yourself may have found you got to a certain level, and boom, how do you make it grow from here? The cadets going to West Point are some of the brightest and most talented young people in our country. They spend 2 years in the application process before they ever get to the point. And in the first 2 weeks of that they call Hell Week there, some 20 to 25% of the 200-plus class drop out. These are the best and the brightest. In 2 weeks, a lifelong dream disappears. Just more evidence and indication that it's just not your intelligence and your talent. Angela Duckworth, in her great book called Grit, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to pick it up and to read it, says and that it's grit that makes the difference. And grit is a combination of passion and perseverance. Passion is about finding exactly what your talent is and loving doing it and finding a way to sustain that. The perseverance is about your ability to stick to something, your ability to develop methods of practice and dedication to making it happen. So it's grit that really leads to this change in trajectory to be able to sustain that. Now, what I'd like to do then today is share with you a couple of concepts that will enable you to develop grit and take your life or coach the people in your business to a higher level. When you invite someone in or when you get into network marketing and get into NECAN, the first thing that you're going to find out is that it's much more difficult. And all of your fears have been tapped into. The greatest fears in the country are about public speaking. You ask people what they think about salesperson. I hate salespeople. Ask people what they think about money and being rich. Oh, rich people are thieves and crooks. So right there you have three big strikes. Oh, and you add magnets on top of it. Wow. There's a desire to achieve at a different level, but you have some really tough internal patterns that get in the way. Let me stop. Questions, comments, thoughts? Can I get an amen?
Wait, everybody's muted unless you want to unmute. But there you go. You all know to unmute if you want to ask a question or make a comment by hitting star 6.
Okay. I appreciate the amen. Thank you very much. First concept that I want to talk about, and Sherry mentioned this, is what I call the gap. It explains the fundamental way in which we process the world around us and we make our way through it. If you have a pencil and paper in front of you, what I'd ask you to do is to write down horizontally across the page, stimulus, gap, response, result. These four words describe the basic way in which we process the world around us. What happens is that we receive a stimulus into one of our five senses. It gets processed in our conscious and subconscious mind. Response is generated, and result will follow the response. Now, let me tell you exactly how this works, because we have patterns. Your subconscious, which is really, you can circle the G there, that's really about what goes on in your subconscious. Our subconscious is a pattern generation and recognition machine. In the first 2 years of our life, we create patterns inside of our subconscious that tell us how the world ought to operate. By the time you're 6, 7, 8, they're really well ingrained. You get into the teenage years, boom, it's locked in about this is the way life works. And what happens in this stimulus gap response is that we get a stimulus, the pattern is recognized in the subconscious, and as soon as the pattern is recognized, it will predict what the result is. It will predict, if I speak up here, I'm going to get criticized. If I make a lot of money, I am going to lose it. And then, after it predicts the result, it goes back to generate the response. So you can see that by predicting a result based on what happened in the past, you will continue to repeat the patterns that you've always lived. This is how it works inside of us. It just kind of goes on and on and on. And these patterns are a function not only of what we've learned, but of the genes that exist in the heredity and what was passed down to us. Now, the great
Frank,
news about...
I want to ask you a question.
Sure.
I want to interrupt you and ask you a question. So, because I'm curious about that. Why do you think that, because what you're talking about is all negative responses. So why do you think we latch on, because obviously everybody doesn't have just, criticism galore. Some people get raised in a household that does, gives them a lot of praise, and they have healthy parenting as a young child. So why do you think we grab onto that negativity so readily?
Well, if you trace back to the human beings back into our early creation Lena Savannahs in Africa, the brain had to learn to keep the person alive. So it's constantly searching for things that are a threat to the environment, threat to them. So it's the fight or flight mechanism that gets triggered, one of the fundamental processes that works inside of us. And as you said, not all of the patterns we have in there are things that are negative or hold us back. Some are very much love-based, but the predominance are things that we learn not to do. We teach people to become a part of the tribe by saying, here are the things you can do, here are the things you can't do. And we tend to focus more often when we are teaching kids about the things that you can't do. And most of us don't see models of someone creating an exceptional amount of success in their life. I always say to my clients that the best thing that you can do is for you to be you and to be a successful you. By creating that model, allowing them to see that in action is a huge advantage. Did that answer the question, Sherry?
It did. I hear you. It's just, jumped out of me hearing you say that it's like, dang, we just grasp onto that. And I know that I've read about how the brain is all about keeping us safe. Even as you said, we're not living in a jungle where we have to worry about the, tiger jumping out at us anymore, but we're still hardwired to that, aren't we?
Exactly. And in order to make that shift in trajectory of where your life is going to move from successful to significance, which is really what people want to achieve, is to have a sense of real meaning and purpose. That's when life really gets great and wonderful and feels spectacular. To make that shift, we need to become aware of what is happening in the gap. And when our fears are showing up and stopping us from doing things. Lots of people have an aversion to conflict. One of the ways that aversion to conflict shows up, someone says to you, where do you want to go to dinner? And what's your response? Oh, I don't care. We do those kind of things too often. When I did a call with Sherry's Gryffindor group yesterday, I did some coaching online with the folks there, and when I would ask the one person there what it is that she truly wanted to do, you could see the look on her face. We were on a teleconference, a video conference, and you could see the look on her face that she was literally afraid to answer. There was a fear to speak up and say, yeah, this is what I'm all about. Comments, other questions? So these patterns that create in the subconscious literally create our definition of normal. They create an invisible barrier around you that's your definition of normal. Now, you can get outside of this definition of normal for a short while, but eventually the subconscious will pull you back in as the fears say, no, that's not the way you can live. No, this is not. I've coached people that find themselves making a lot more money and then suddenly do all kinds of things to self-destruct and lose and or spend the money. They become aware of that's what's happening to them. You can see where you'd like to go through this invisible wall, but it will stop you so that your goals don't align with your life patterns. This is why I have people draw off you, again, if you want to have your pencil paper in front of you, draw two stick figures, one at least twice as big as the other, and see if they can the big one takes up the entire page. The small stick figure, for most people, represents exactly where you are right now. And you could put a label on there, or not a label, but a list on there, what you think are the two or three fears that are getting in the way of you growing your business exponentially. And you don't have to look any further on those things that you're procrastinating on. If you're procrastinating on something and can't seem to get it done, there is some level of fear operating for you.
I have a question.
Sure.
You are awesome, by the way, Frank. This is very helpful. My question is, in your years of experience of dealing with people, coaching, mentoring them, do you find that there is any disparity in the genders, the mindset of negativity and maybe sabotaging having a happy life? Does it seem like it's across the board for male and female, or do you see a difference?
Well, what I see is exactly what all the research shows about who buys the self-help books. It's females far and away. The problems exist across both. There's no gender specificity to people having fears. The question is, who are the people that are most likely to do something about it, to be proactive in doing it? I've had a number of my coaching, female coaching clients will say to me, you know, my husband needs you. You know, he's got to work with my husband. I'm going to tell him he's got to work with you. And my first response, no, that doesn't work. You have to ask whether they want to do it or not. Thank you for the question. Did I answer it?
You did, and I do have a follow-up if you don't mind.
Sure.
This is Linda Morse from the Seattle area. My follow-up is, it appears that women in general are the ones getting the self-help books and want the improvement from the statistical standpoint. Do you attribute that to why there tend to be more women in, say, for our modeling model, since we're representing, most of us are representing NECN or consultants, would you say that's why there tend to be more women that are successfully doing this as a business, whether it's a full-time or part-time, to supplement? Do you say women are the reason that there are more women is because we just look at the self-help and, you know, we need it and want it, and so that's what there's more of us doing this as a business? Do you see that that's all related as well?
I see that related, and I also believe that women enjoy the friendship camaraderie that is promised and the learning that is a part of any network marketing business. And then when you add the whole idea of nurturing that is at the core of NECN is about nurturing. You're helping people improve their health. That's nurturing. Something that is easier for women to engage in, unfortunately.
I think that's fascinating. That's a concept I hadn't fully seen it that way, but that makes perfect sense to me. And I appreciate all of your information. You've got to come back. You're wonderful. Thanks again.
You're welcome. I appreciate it. What I know is if you understand yourself, how you work and what's going on, if you become aware of how you're operating, you can change it. There's neuroplasticity. It's the ability to change your brain, which is just spectacular. And one of the things that I would share with you is that in the subconscious, in the brain is, it works by a combination of electrical connections and chemicals that are generated. When we are in this, what is referred to as the state of flow, where we're fully connected to what we're doing and we're feeling passionate about it and we're willing to persevere and make it happen, and we see bigger ideas and we're able to do things we never thought we could do, the brain is generating 5 chemicals. And you can learn to, as Stephen Kotler talks about in his book, The Rise of Superman, you can learn to hack into the state of flow and to generate those chemicals. A very simple and easy way that you can jumpstart the whole process is to get a smile on your face and do some deep breathing at the same time. When you get the smile on your face and you do the deep breathing and you focus on something that you really want to dive into, you create 3 of the 5 chemicals. You create serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins, right? Boom. Instantaneously, it'll happen. I did it at the start of the call yesterday, and I was able to see the faces of all the people. The faces all changed. They changed in less than 30 seconds, the faces changed. You know, and in one case, there was just this huge, magnificent glow that happened on a woman's face. I did this process this morning when I was doing some review to get additional insights. This idea of tapping into flow and this idea that you understand that your life is a function of the electricity that you generate in your brain and the chemicals that follow. That's how we work, and you have control over that. Now, until you become aware in the gap of what is going on in your life, the chemicals are being produced by a program that was installed inside of you before you were 2 years old, and you had no input into it. Sherry did this years ago, and it's one of my favorite gap stories, is that she was finding herself, she's smiling already, but she was finding herself not paying as close attention to her girls as she wanted to, because she was multitasking, which she is continuously doing. But she wanted to be more attentive to what was going on in the girls' life so that they felt cared for. And she taught them the concept of the gap and to say to their to Sherry, whenever she wasn't paying attention to them the way she wanted to, is that all they had to do was say, gap, mom," and boom, it would help her become aware. Did I tell that story correctly, Sherry?
I think you did. My girls have always been smarter than me, so they catch on quickly. I want to interject a few things here, if I may. And that is that I love the word empower. I use that word when I talk a lot about empowering people. And a lot of what we're talking about as consultants and with our fabulous products is about empowering people to live a healthier life, you know, by creating a healthier environment at home. We teach people about the wellness home. We encourage people to live, you know, to create a wellness home. And so that's empowerment. And I was sitting here thinking, just, you know, listening to you, how what these tools are, if you'll grab onto these and be a student, really it's about being a student of the mind. Is this is so empowering because we're so habitual by the time anybody joins New Ken, they have to be at least 18, so they've had some serious programming and many of us are many years beyond 18. And so it's, you know, when you're doing a business, anything where you're in front of people and you're the only way you grow your business is to talk to people. So you have to have conversations. There has to be skills involved so that you can listen between the words and you can manage your own emotions and your own actions based on the results that you're getting, because we don't often get results quickly. You know, it's sometimes people get lucky and the first 10 people they talk to all join and, you know, make them a millionaire, but that doesn't happen that often. So, you know, I'm just listening to all this. These concepts are so empowering, not only for ourselves, but as a way to then empower our team and anyone that, you know, it may be somebody that you talk to that never joined your team, but by sharing this, you can give back in the five pillars. So I just had to say that this is really about empowerment. I spoke about this in San Antonio that, so when I was running for Team Kaizen, I had kind of re-circled back to coach more closely with Frank and all of that year of 2017. And so, I knew about the smile exercise. He had asked me, he'd given me the assignment many times before. At one point I was committing to the smile exercise, you know, 10 times a day, that I would stop and put a smile on my face and say my mission statement or a particular mantra that I was focused on. And, you know, I know how well this works. I've been in situations where I've been, you know, really bummed out to almost, you know, devastated, like really in a low place. And I have stopped and used the smile exercise, and it always brings my energy up. It always has given me kind of a new lease on the situation, you know. So I've learned to use these skills, but these tools. But Frank challenged me, and he said, I want you to do the smile exercise 30 times a day. And I was like, oh. No, at first he said, I think first he said 20 times. And I was like, yeah, yeah. And then he said 30 times, and I'm thinking, okay, this is crazy. I've got to come up with some strategy. So what I did is because I carry my phone, and many of us probably do the same thing. We carry our phones with us, like, everywhere. So I put a message on my phone, because I have reminders. It's the way I keep myself in check. And so I put a reminder on my phone, and I went through from 8 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, and I put that reminder to smile, and then I have actually several different mantras that I say, but mostly it's my mission statement. And what happened that I kind of stumbled upon this, is that it's kind of a default setting that anytime I put a reminder message, like in my calendar, it gives me a reminder every 30 minutes. So I had 16 hours, and inadvertently I created 32 reminders all throughout the day that I get this message. And I still, you know, I keep it, this is a year later, and I'm still, you know, listening. And I can't say I'm perfect in that I always, you know, give it the time it needs, but I'm certainly doing it quite a bit more than I would without having those reminders. And it works fantastically. So I offer that out also. If you're thinking, how can I be reminded, use your phone. You know, use that tool to keep you, you know, keep disrupting your busy lives so that you take a moment. You know, it's almost like taking a 30-second meditation moment, you know. So wanted to add that.
Thank you, Sherry. And let me add a little bit. This smile exercise, I can do a couple hours on the smile exercise in and of itself. There is so much research today about the brain and how we work and what we do when we are performing at our best. A lot of it is coming out of what they can hook up athletes to in terms of connections to their brain while they're exercising, plus lots of other research of people like Angela Duckworth, Martin Seligman, Steve Kotler are doing. The list just goes on and on. But the smile exercise is another part of it that's very important, and that is visualizing yourself actually doing what it is you are saying in what I call your declaration, and visualizing it in as much as detail as you possibly can. Now, this is about, you know, we talked about these patterns here. This is about, you know, to create a pattern that's different from the one that you have, to cause that trajectory to go up and to be able to sustain it. We can get it to go up for short times, but to get it to go up long term, you have to shift from being consciously aware of it to being subconsciously aware of how you're living and what you're doing. The smile exercise opens that door, and it gives you a chance to rehearse these behaviors, and it changes the electricity and the chemicals in the brain. Now, let's take this in a step further. This is the law of attraction. This is the law of attraction, because this is about the electricity that you're generating. And like energy, energy will attract like energy. What people want to be is in an energy of love. Love stands for living on vibrant energy. It's a shift from this fear-based life pattern, and it's not about shifting just occasionally when you want to think about it. It's learning to be attractive, i.e. generate that energy consistently. You know, go in front of a mirror and get that smile on your face and just see right away. A smile automatically changes your physiology. It connects both halves of the brain so that you're able to see bigger concepts, which is about getting into the state of flow. The smile exercise is incredibly important in making this shift so that, you know, in the gap, there are chemicals and electrical connections that are occurring that make you attractive. people want to be with and around people who generate that kind of energy. Let me see where I'm going next. What else can I get wound up on here? Okay, our brain has developed in a way that from early on as human beings in a linear and local fashion. And based on what's happening in the world today and what we know is possible with the brain, it's developed this way, but there are possibilities inside the brain for us to go exponential and global. And for those people who are going to achieve and shift from just success into having significant impact, and that's one of the key human needs, is having a significant impact on our lives. And significance can be whatever you want to define it to be, but it's about fully utilizing your talents. You know, it's important today to make that shift. And it's important because of what is happening in technology around the world that gives us access to information we never had before. In 1971, the average microchip had about 2,300 transistors in it. Today, I think it was IBM that just announced that they are going to be creating a microchip that has 30 billion, that's B, transistors in it. Just think of what's available. We have more information available to us on Google than the President of the United States had available 20 years ago. You have more information, absolutely a ton more capacity for information and data on your cell phone than they did that took them to the moon. So this gives us access to information, gives us access to learn. Learning is one of the things that helps generate energy. What people want from folks like yourself who are talking to them about changing, altering their lives is for you to know something more than they do to generate a sense of energy in them. If you're not tuned into YouTube right now and aren't looking up every great author, any author about any great book that you want to read, you can find on YouTube, giving a speech or being interviewed. They're there. If you're in a car, because you don't have to watch these, all you have to do is listen. Go to YouTube and listen to these. It's much easier even than trying to do a Google search. This is about, for you to go there, it's to get yourself in this state of learning. Questions, comments? Okay, so I hope you're still looking for that one item that's going to change you, so I haven't forgotten about what your job is.
So we have a few more minutes before we wrap it up, and I'm hoping that there will be people that will jump in and take advantage of asking Frank a question. So.
Okay. One other concept here that I want to talk about that helps make this shift and make moving to significance possible, get that trajectory going upward the way you want it, or the four C's to leading an exceptional life. And the four C's are clarity, commitment, courage, and compassion. Now, the number one C there that, as far as I can see, and I've been using it with my coaching clients for a lot of years now, is clarity. It's clarity about your mission statement. It's clarity about everything you want to do in your life. It's not just clarity about the mission. It's clarity about each one of the words in the mission. Sherry talked about the word empowerment that she thinks about. To inspire and empower are two words that appear frequently in mission statements. And if you have something like that in yours, I encourage you to go to your mission statement. What behaviors are behind, how do you need to engage in to inspire or empower people? There's no one answer to that. It's you finding how you want to do it. That's clarity on it. You know, if you say, I want to generate four new silvers this month, What behaviors do you need to engage in to make that happen? If you don't get down to that level of specificity and work on developing those behaviors, you minimize the probability of that occurring. Goal setting, there's a whole new amount of thought about goal setting coming about, and people are seeing the level of specificity. And it used to just be about time-bound, clear, etc., but you can take it levels below that as well, because you have to get at the behaviors or the thought processes that are going to drive it that you can measure. Now, with clarity also comes an elevated sense of where I'm going and how I'm going to get there, which raises the level of energy that you have inside of you, which changes the way in which you are attractive. You can think of great leaders that you've known that have been very, very clear about who they are and where they want to go, and you can see it in their eyes. You can absolutely see it in your eyes. It happened in yesterday's call. You know, every time someone was unclear and fear was showing up, their faces changed. Am I right, Sherry?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can see it's right there. The information is always available to you. You know, and when you're recruiting people and they're not doing what you want to do, it's all over their face, and you can hear it in their voice. You can hear it in the words that they use. But you have to be clear about you. When you get clear about you, you can begin to lose the need to defend yourself. Now, I have a newsflash for you. This call is made up of a lot of very successful people in the business. And you keep hoping that you'll recruit other people that are just like you. Those are few and far between. But you can, when you become clear about what you want to do, become an outstanding coach and help those people who are capable and want to get there to get there. And you can ask them some simple questions about what it is they want to accomplish and how hard are they willing to work. Second C is commitment, and I differentiate between full commitment and partial commitment. Most of us have become very, very good at partial commitment by saying yes to things that we never intend on doing, and we always leave the back door open. How many times, think about this, how many times have you left the back door open when you've said something? Oh, yeah, I'll try. Try is one of the key words there that shows you they're not committed. So this is about understanding when you commit to something that you are saying, yes, I am going to make sure this happens. This is one of the keys to that significant upward trajectory to get exactly where you want to go. And you can't do this alone. All the research shows that there's a power of the other. And this is not an advertisement for me, but it's an advertisement for finding someone that you can go to be a coach that will help you sustain these levels of commitments that you want to make and give you feedback on how you're doing. Third C is courage, and courage is all about, this is not an easy process to get to the exceptional life where you are adding significance all of the time. This is a long journey for most people. It's been a lifelong journey for me. I've been at this process for well over 50 years now, and I'm delighted. And my life right now is better than it's ever been because I've put myself in a process of learning. And the final one here is compassion. And it's not about compassion for other people, although I know that's important. It's compassion for yourself. If we talk to our friends the way we talk to ourselves, we would not have anyone in the world that would ever come near us. So this is about learning to talk to yourself, appreciate yourself, celebrate your successes. I ask people to start our coaching calls with, what were your successes? This is perhaps one of the most difficult things that people have to do in a coaching session, is list for me their successes, because they're looking for something that changed the world, and you have successes in much smaller ways. And learning to love yourself when you make a mistake and say, oh, how fantastic, isn't that great? I've learned something here. It's not, oh, shit, I'm the dumbest person in the world. I can't ever repeat that again. So that's the four C's, clarity, commitment, courage, and compassion. Understanding these, applying them, particularly this issue of clarity and commitment, and find yourself when you are saying yes to things you don't really intend to say yes to. Don't say yes to something you're not committed to. I know that life is a never-ending series of temporary events, and when you begin to understand those temporary events that are happening to you, what patterns are showing up, what fears, you will automatically skyrocket to a different level of significance and enjoyment of life. Thank you. Questions?
Would you repeat Angela's Grit last name, please?
Duckworth. D-U-C-K-W-O-R-T-H, I think it is, yeah.
Duckworth, okay. And the Steve fellow?
Kotler, K-O-T-L-E-R, The Rise of Superman.
Spell it again, please.
Kotler, K-O-T-L-E-R.
Oh, I have it. Okay, thank you very much. That was
You're welcome very much.
Really great short lesson with a lot of good things for us to do. And I can say the breathing and the smiling really does work.
Frank, I can't thank you enough. I want to give people some ideas, if I can, because we're going to wrap this up in just a moment, and there might be time for another one or two quick questions. So Frank was very gracious to, and as you heard, he never gets tired talking about this. This is a very passionate topic for you, and we so appreciate your time and your wisdom of being such a constant learner and continuing to bring new information to us. What I would recommend is, you know, share this call with your team and have discussions about it. If you have a mastermind that you're a part of, then you might consider, certainly have everyone on the mastermind listen to this call. And I want to, you know, invite Frank to share your contact information. If you want to have a conversation with Frank directly about his work, or you have a question after this morning, or if you want to talk to him about how he might be able to support you, support your team, your mastermind, Frank, how do they get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me at frank@wisecoach, WISECOACH, the number 4, letter U, .com. frank@wisecoachforyou.com. And if you want my phone number, it's 630-926-4909. And I am starting a teleclass in early April. I'm still working out the date on it, but if you're interested, it will be a 4 1-hour series spread out over 2 months. If you want to take more in-depth on this, this information, plus a lot more, plus some one-on-one coaching as part of it, let me hear from you, and I'll get back to you on exactly what the dates will be.
Fantastic. I can't thank you enough, Frank. I know I would not be where I'm at personally and in my business without having you in my pocket for all these years. So,
thank you.
An amazing thing. I don't want to end this call before making an announcement. In case you haven't heard, there's a huge change that has been gifted to all of us just came down, I think, yesterday. And that was, it's not yesterday, it was the day before, but that New Canada changed their policy, and so we're still qualifying on retail orders, but you can now ship your retail orders if it's anything that's shipping to yourself, including personal auto ship orders that are retail, does count for qualification. So that whole issue that was about not being able to ship things to ourselves and using that for qualification for retail orders has been lifted immediately. So I wanted to be sure I put that announcement on this call before we end. We are out of time, so you all know how to reach Frank. If you have questions, I encourage you to really use this resource however you see fit, because These are tremendous gems that you've shared with us. So everybody have a great Saturday, great weekend, and catch us down the weekend highway.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Sherry and Frank. Awesome call.
Thanks, Frank.
You're welcome.